You're listening to the Burst Boss Scottish Football Podcast.
Oh, Scotland go for an imminent end! He's done it again! James McFadden scores for Scotland! France are stunned and Scotland lead in Paris!
Hello and welcome to the Burst Boss Scottish Football Podcast, episode 243. I'm your host, Tom McKinnon, and to dissect this weekend's action, I'll be joined by Ryan Crombie.
Hello, Tom. Glad to be on. Glad to be discussing this weekend of football with you on the other side of the hot seat.
I know, we've swapped places here.
I know.
Dynamic duo. And joining us is Callum Scott.
Delighted to be here, guys. Thank you for having me. I think it's my first one of the new year. I think the last one I was on was potentially the Christmas special. No. When the Old Firm game was, that was the last one I was on, I think. So, happy to be back.
Turn up for the big events.
Yes, well, I have been on holiday. I just wanted to get that in there as well.
Finally got over Greg Stewart signing for Aberdeen. So
yes, you're no wrong there. You're no wrong.
We're going to start this podcast slightly differently to normally. We're going to start with a wee bit of trivia. We'll give you the answer at the end. This question comes from Ryan Crombie. There are four Scottish League clubs that begin and end with the same letter. And I'll give you the whole show to try and name them. So that's four. Right? This is Ryan's question, so if it's wrong, blame him.
No, that's correct.
Without further ado, we'll dive right into the Scottish Cup and we'll go straight to you, Ryan. 4-1 against Queen of the South. Good result.
Straight to me. Yes, in the end it was. I mean, I think it had a bit of the shades of the Stenny game in the previous rounds of it, in the first half especially. That first half, I don't know if you watched it. I'm pretty sure, I think the Man City game was available on another channel, so I'm not sure many people would have endured that first half other than myself and Aberdeen and Queen of the South fans, because it was pretty rank rotten in terms of quality. But second half sparked into life. I think we've seen a goal of the season contender from the man himself, Stephen Dobie. I don't think you'd expect anything less after sort of Niall McGinn came on, changed the game for Aberdeen. I wasn't too impressed with Queen of the South, to be honest, apart from obviously Dobie's goal. Defended relatively well, but aside from that, I think it's just a bit of the same old story for them on the road. They just kind of capitulated in the second half. I don't know whether that's been a bit, distasteful towards them, because Aberdeen, when they do turn it on at home, a lot of teams aren't going to be able to keep up with them. But first half stuck in well. Aberdeen obviously just had too much of them in the second half after McGinn came on. I think that was down to Stevie May going off, I think. which is strange in itself, because McGinn hasn't had the best of seasons himself, which is why he's on the bench. Maybe his place in the Aberdeen team is more of a impact substitute from now on, but when he came on, he certainly looked more like his old self from before he went to Korea. Definitely changed the game. And in the end, fantastic to get a 4-1 win, and it's cliched, but these cup games are all about just sort of getting through. Another couple of goals for Sam Cosgrove as well, so can't really complain.
You mentioned Stevie May there. How do you solve a problem like that? £400,000 signing, and he's never really kicked on.
How do I solve a problem like that? Well, solve him by getting rid of him. I don't know. I think he, in his own way, has his advantages to playing him. I mean, I think it's been proven. I mean, the stats are laid bare for all to see that he's not going to bang in the goals for Aberdeen. I think he's just a striker that's completely, his confidence is completely shot in terms of in front of goal, and that doesn't look like it's going to be changing anytime soon. But to be fair to him, against Hibs and the Celtics, don't know why he didn't play against Rangers midweek. His work rate up the top end of the pitch and pressing really does have an impact. I mean, I think, especially against Hibs, that was highlighted and it does work as part of Aberdeen's game plan, and he does seem to have a decent partnership with Cosgrove when he plays. In terms of partnership, I just mean Stevie May passing to Cosgrove and Cosgrove scoring. But he does work in that sense. But in terms of, would you have him ahead of McGinn, GMS, Stuart, Cosgrove? No. So, I mean, it does look like it's getting to the stage where Stevie May will be on his way out of Aberdeen. I mean, you'd say that, but McInnes seems to really enjoy him. Seems to persist with him. So, I don't know. Personally, not for me, but as I've said, he does have his advantages in these games.
Would you like to tell the listeners how many goals he's actually scored since his £400,000 move from Preston last summer?
Eight. Well, now two summers ago. Eight, two of which were penalties, and two of which were on his debut on his first game for Aberdeen. So, four goals in between those periods. Not
as Tom
fantastic.
Said, it's £50,000 a goal.
I mean, it's not fantastic. I mean, I think we're only highlighting this because he came off and Nijmegen came on and had such a fantastic impact. But, in terms of Stevie May's time at Aberdeen, I think you would have to put it down as pretty unsuccessful.
Obviously, you touched upon it there, Ryan, but Casey, how do you stop someone like Stephen Dobie?
Well, for a start, I wouldn't give him that much room when he's so bad. We all know what he's capable of, but it's just one of those. I mean, I can agree with Ryan. I mean, for what I've seen for the highlights, I mean, Queens didn't really offer that much, and it was just kind of a bit of magic for Dobie, who did kind of kind of made the game slightly competitive for that wee spell, and you know, pulling them out pulling a goal out of nothing, which he appears to be doing 30 plus times this season. But it's just one of those. I mean, the guy's just on fire, and you keep expecting him to go off the boil, but he's been consistently scoring goals for fun since the League Cup campaign started in July, and to be honest, I don't know if there's much you can do to stop him. I think that the main thing would be to not give him space. That would be that'd be me, because he's a guy, if he's got time in the ball, we can pick a pass, and he can, and if he gets half a yard, he'll score. So he's not particularly blessed with pace, but he can move, if you get me, you know what I mean? I mean, he can go past players without being particularly quick. But no, to be honest, I think that I would be one of the best paid managers in the world if I knew how to stop Stephen Dobie.
Moving on to another game from today. Hearts 4, looking like Talbot 0. This is a bit harsh on the Ayrshire side, Casey.
I think that it was just when you go to Tynecastle, particularly as a junior side, you're hoping you're going to ride your luck a wee bit, and ideally you want your keeper to make an excellent save or deal with whatever effort within the first 10 minutes, and then that can kind of set the tone for the game. But you're talking first one Christoph Berra header into the back of the net. It was kind of similar when we got absolutely pummeled at Parkhead this season, when those James Forrest scores after 2 minutes, and it's one of those ones that could easily go wide, but it just totally sets the tone for the game, and Talbot have got it all to do, and it's a shame. I mean, they missed an excellent chance, so 1-0. I think it was can't remember who it was up top, but the boy, I think he'll be hoping he kind of thought more about it, and actually had a lot more time. That one he kind of nicks in by Berra, takes a wonderful first touch, but because he sees the kind of keepers off his line, but he's at the angle, all he has to do is kind of maybe bend his left foot round it, and it goes in, and then they missed a good chance at 3-0 as well. But it's just I mean Talbot were never expecting to really go there and win. It was all just about the day out, which they've got, and obviously they've done themselves and Ayrshire proud to get to the last 16 of the Scottish Cup. So a remarkable achievement.
Ryan, can Hearts see themselves as legitimate contenders for the title?
The
Scottish Cup, yeah.
Yes, I mean, they're in the quarterfinals of the cup, so absolutely. In terms of, do I think they're as good as other teams in the competition? No, but it's the cup competition, and it's a cliche. Anything can happen, and they'll be looking at the results towards the start of the season, where beat Celtic at home, and I've certainly, well, they beat Aberdeen, beating Hibs away from home this season, so they can certainly mix it with the teams at the top end of the table, and they're certainly just tucked in behind the sort of front four in the league at the minute. So absolutely, I mean, I think it's well known Hearts' decent record with the Scottish Cup, the sort of turn of the century, so absolutely I think that they'll be having an eye on the Scottish Cup, given the fact that they'll perhaps maybe just be edged out in the league in terms of the top four positions. I definitely think that Craig Levein will be eyeing that one as a, well, they can go and win, yeah.
Yeah, Casey, that's Uche back and looked maybe not quite on top form, but getting back to the sort of form that he had pre-injury, is he someone that could maybe be a catalyst towards silverware this season?
Yeah, I think it was definitely a great game for him to come back into, with the kind of the amount of possession and stuff that Hearts were going to have that day. And I just, at times I don't know what to make him. I think that he's definitely a handful, and he'll cause a lot of teams' problems because he's kind of physicality and stuff. But whether he's got the ability to score goals, and you know, whether he's got the technique and the finesse there, I'm not so sure about. But if you've got him up top and then Naismith in behind him, you're going to cause a lot of teams' problems. And Ekpeazu will, like I say, be a real handful for defenders, and probably leave it up to Stephen Naismith to put the ball in the back of the net. So no, it was a brilliant game for him to come back into. As I say, great way to kind of find his feet again, and then get 90 minutes under his belt now for match fitness.
Yeah, today's first game was the holder Celtic battered St Johnstone 5-0. That's five straight defeats for St Johnstone now, but the one player that caught the eye was Ollie Burke, Ryan, obviously not a Celtic player presumably for much longer given Ben Rogers' comments, but he is Scottish. If you can put in performances like this, he might be a real asset to the Scottish national team.
Aye, well, it's a strange one. I mean, almost about a year ago he was sort of breaking into the Scotland team, and then just kind of fell away back into the under-21s, is it, for Scotland?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So I think, I mean, we definitely know the abilities there for Ollie Burke, and maybe it's just a case of him not being able to get the game time he needed at West Brom. So obviously he's come up to Celtic, very decent level, in terms of the players he's playing around, and he's got he's in form. He's scored a couple of goals since he's arrived. By all accounts, he was unplayable against St Johnstone, and he's got a few games in the Europa League coming up against Valencia, which will be even better games to test himself in. So I mean, he's been in the Scotland setup before. He knows how it works, how it operates. He just knows that, and he will know himself, that he just needs to achieve that level of consistency to be able to stake a claim for Scotland. And he's certainly doing that at Celtic. Might be almost a wee bit of a shame that if he disappears very quickly from Celtic, he'll be hoping himself that he manages to find somewhere, even if it's back at West Brom, just that he can get a regular game time, because it's proven that he doesn't appear to be the best of players that is good at coming in out of the cold. He quite clearly enjoys a run of games, and that seems to be getting the best out of him at the minute.
Mm-hmm. Casey, that's, as I said, five straight losses for St Johnstone now. Is this just a sort of minor blip, given they've played Celtic three times in that run? Or is it maybe...
No, I think so, Tom. It's just it's very unfortunate that they have played Celtic three times basically in the last week. But you think as you can tell, I mean, Vegas has had its toll on me when I'm going to bring up probability here after I lost all my money in the right here. But I mean, St Johnstone playing Celtic three times, you're thinking surely one of those games they've got to get something out of. And if anything, it was maybe last week, the obviously the closest they've been to doing that. But I mean, Celtic just totally bulldozed them, and as you touched upon, I mean, Sinclair was at the finish, but Ollie Burt just ran the full show. Tommy Wright hits the nail on the head in his kind of press conference after it. He's like, ah, listen, see if Celtic play like that, you can't lay a glove on them. It's virtually impossible. See when every single player in the park's better than what you've got in your starting 11, and the resources, fitness, speed, everything about that, and Celtic are on it. You can't put a glove on them. But no doubt St George's will be disappointed to be put out of the Scottish Cup, and as you say, five defeats in a row. But once they kind of come into the next kind of couple of fixtures, we'll know more then, because it is a kind of false start when you do consider that they've played the champions three times within that period.
Mm-hmm. Ryan, somewhat of a makeshift defence with Johnny Hayes playing left back, is that something you'd envisage happening when he went to Celtic?
I mean, I think he's lucky to even get a game. It's just, his sort of run and drive through the centre and then lay off to Forrest for the goal was very good. But he hasn't impressed when he's played at left back for Celtic. I mean, that's not his position. It's not what he wants to be playing. And ultimately, it's just a stopgap, because Izaguirre's out injured, Tierney's out injured, and they don't really have many other options in there. Hayes much prefers going forward, driving up the wing, and albeit while he can do that, playing for Celtic in a full-back position, he's more suited to further up the pitch. And I think that it's sad to see, but he's only in there because of injuries. And I think his form for Celtic, when he has been given a chance, hasn't been fantastic. Otherwise, he would have kept his place in the team over at Izaguirre. I think the whole move, Johnny Hayes to Celtic, might have been in more just of a token gesture now in the grand scheme of things, looking back at it in terms of, rather than looking to improve Celtic, just doing their usual and buying everyone else's best players. But no, fair play to Johnny Hayes, he's getting the game time. Did look like he had a decent game.
I'll ask you both the same question here, and I just want a yes or no answer. But will Celtic win the Scottish Cup?
No.
Ryan?
Yes.
There's everything wrong with Aberdeen Football Club in a nutshell, Ryan.
I challenge you to go to three finals against them at Hampden, get beaten everyone, and then come back and be as positive and upbeat.
No, I know. I'm just... Purely just for something a bit different. We all know that if Celtic, it's got to take them to be off it in one of these games, and they always get themselves up for the cup games, as you've pointed out, right? And they don't always at Hampden either.
You asked for one word, Tom, but I feel like I have to explain myself. I just think that when Celtic get to Hampden under Brendan Rodgers, they're not going to lose, because they've got that 25,000 crowd behind them. They just relish, all these players in the Celtic team relish the big occasion. They have the mentality now to go and win at Hampden, because they've all experienced it. They've experienced lifting trophies at Hampden, and they all seem to be hungry enough to go back and do it all again. And the only way I can see them not winning it is if they get a draw like us at Pittodrie, Hearts at Tynecastle, or Rangers at Ibrox, and get put out in the next round. And I mean, arguably, I'd you always look for, oh well, who do you want at home in the next round? And the cliche is, oh well, a lower league opposition at home. I'd actually be tempted to say just Celtic at home, because that's the best chance you're going to have of beating them. And I'd rather get put out having played them at home, rather than another cup final. Or if you do put them out at home, then it just totally opens up the competition.
Just like to ask Ryan, do you have a time machine by any chance?
No.
Because you seem to believe that the Rangers will be the team in the next round already. That's going to be your last comment, sir.
Oh no, I was just using the three teams as an example.
Just keeping you on your toes, man. But would they not fear coming to Rugby Park, given they haven't?
Yes, they haven't Rugby Park as well. Absolutely.
Just for the Andy Kelly fans listening, though.
Aye, no, spot on for pulling me up on that. But aye, just those four grounds, I think. I just don't see if they don't. Well, obviously, if they come through that, then I think if they get back to a semi-final at Hampden, they'll see it through all the way. Unfortunately.
Yeah. No, I agree with you. As you say, Hampden. Hampden's a second home now, isn't it? Like, it's just, and me and you spoke about this the other day, and you just hit the nail on the head. You're like, if they're not going to do the treble, they've got to, it's got to be the next round they get put out. And as you say, you're wanting, the cliche goes, a lower team at home, so you can get to Hampden. But for your point of view, you want to get Celtic, because it's probably the best chance you've got to get to beat them. And if you get Celtic in the quarterfinals, and you beat them, you'll... probably believe that Aberdeen would go on to win the cup, whoever would do that.
Well, I think that quite sufficiently answers Grant Campbell's at Stettle Grant's question. He asked who your what stops Celtic winning another treble. Obviously, Ryan, you don't seem to believe that, unless a team wins the league. Do you think a non-Celtic side will win the
hashtag 55.
So thanks, Grant, for the question, and if you've got time after listening to this podcast, have a look at his Facebook page. He's got a Friday at 5 o'clock, I think, he does a football show, and Johnny Clark, occasional panellist on this show, was on, not been on in a while himself, but
on that show more than this show these days, man.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Sorry, we've just won some podcast politics there. And before we get any deeper, I know you two like your politics, we'll move on to Killie-nil, Rangers nil. Casey, what do you make of this game?
Yep, I think that it was a fair result in the kind of grand scheme of things. I think you could see, and it's the kind of second half, both sides, well, I don't really kind of what to throw us into that category. I thought you could see the Rangers were definitely scared of losing the game, more so than Kilmarnock. I think the Rangers, if MD, were the ones more likely to score into the second half, but I would like to make note here before MD says that Kilmarnock camped in and played for the point. Every single one of Clark's substitutes was positive. Like, when Alan Power went off injured, he put on Chris Boyd and sacrificed one of the midfield three and to go kind of two up front. And then he brings on Mark Miller for Chris Burke, who obviously Burke played 90 minutes midweek there as well, so he was kind of maybe running out of legs, but Burke's our most industrious wide man as well. And then I thought that Clark actually did try to go and win the game, that we didn't look like doing it, but he did all he kind of could to try and influence the game. But no, I thought it was very kind of comfortable, and then seeing it out against Rangers, I think by kind of about 65-70 minutes, both teams were kind of ready for the game at Ibrox more than anything. I think I've got no qualms with the Rangers' penalty. Kind of obviously do, I think it's harsh, but I just can't be bothered with handball decisions at all. I've got no qualms, as Clark said. I mean, if you handle it in the box, then you're always got to be up against it. But so that's nonsense about deliberate handball. I genuinely believe that Kirk Broadfoot deliberately handles the ball. No, I don't think that, but it hits his chest and he almost cups it. But the thing that's most frustrating, and they didn't even touch on it in sports scene, they kind of half showed the highlight, but I think if that's a penalty for Rangers, then I don't see why the one for Kilmarnock into the second half with McElhenney and Tavernier isn't a penalty, because I think it's the same thing, that the ball literally rolls down Tavernier's arm. So I mean, I thought, and there was nothing made about that. And Sports Scene as well made a big deal of Alan Powers' challenge, which we all know was a big topic talking point, but they never done anything about Jermaine Defoe's dive, and they made a big deal about trying to say Kirk Broadfoot should have been sent off as well. So I thought that the coverage was pretty embarrassing yesterday when I went home to watch it. I didn't think it really kind of told the full story of the game.
Ryan, the Alan Power tackle, the first of two incidents this weekend of high feet. Do you think he was lucky to stay on the pitch?
Well, he's got to protect himself going into that.
Get out.
Aye. I mean, He studded him and Ryan Jack in the face. I mean, as much as some of us would enjoy watching that more than others, it is a red card. I don't think anyone would argue for or against it. Be interesting to see if the compliance officer pokes his head above the parapet once more.
See, it's a strange one, right? The power, because I don't. Before any Rangers fans listen, I think that I'm been totally biased. I do think it is a red. He was lucky to stay in the park, right? And it is a red card, but I don't. There's genuinely no malice to it at all. He's eyes on the ball. The full way across, but he's got to be more aware, you know what I mean? He's the edge of the box, and Powell's a very intelligent player, and a big part of his game is his awareness, because high balls coming down, he always puts the chest out and turns a man, so he's clearly aware of players on about him, but I don't think there was any malice in it before a lot of Rangers fans will be saying that. I think his eye was on the ball the full game, and he just obviously absolutely melted Jack in the face, but... I really, there's no kind of retrospective action, but I mean, after what happened last week, then they probably will. I mean, I've got to just as well say, I mean, only the team who could have, what was it, 6 penalties in the last 3 games? Yep, Rangers. could be singing F the SFA all the way through the game yesterday. So, I mean, logistically, it didn't make any sense whatsoever. So.
How are you feeling for the replay? Confident?
Yeah, I think that it's frustrating. I think that we'll prioritise the Rangers game. It's disappointing because we've got Celtic on Sunday as well, and I thought that we would have a right good go at Celtic, and I was kind of pretty confident to get something against them, but you've got to prioritise the Scottish Cup now, obviously. We're never going to kind of win the league or anything now. So the Celtic game, even though they'll be there for the taking, because they'll be resting players with their European stuff and that, but you've got to get into the Rangers game with your best team, and I think Malumbu getting 90 minutes yesterday was massive, because you could see kind of towards the end he was a bit tiring, and he gave away the ball for that one, that the foes kind of half chance towards the end, but I think that kind of this time next week, sorry, get into the Rangers game a week on Wednesday, we'll be a stronger side again. So I'm kind of confident going to Ibrox, and I think the game will suit us more than it'll suit Rangers.
Obviously, Ryan, we've not spoken since the midweek games. There was obviously a few contentious decisions in the game that you were at Aberdeen, 2-4. Do you want to talk us through the two incidents on the potential red cards?
Aye. McKenna and Morelos, both a red card. Don't know how people could say that McKenna's is more of a red card than Morelos's when he actively stamps on his balls, though. I don't understand that line of argument. There wasn't a lot in it, if you know what I mean. You could possibly, I know you're of this line of thought, argued that a yellow card would have done for both of them, but I just think in terms of the atmosphere of the game and the tension that was built around the stadium, that it was never just going to be 2 yellow cards, and the referee's always going to show 2 red cards. In terms of the other incident, red cards, I think Bobby Madden probably got just about right. The Al McGregor incident is one of the worst tackles I've seen this season. If Ferguson plants his leg there and hasn't lifted it to sort of continue his run, he snaps his leg in two, and quite rightly he's been cited by the compliance officer, which is about time given the stuff he's got away with already this season. Absolutely disgraceful challenge, horrible. He knows exactly what he's doing, because he's not protecting himself. Your instant reaction when you protect yourself is to curl up in a ball and protect yourself, not stick out your leg, straight legged studs up, that would actively harm yourself possibly more, given your sort of hyperextend your leg to then sort of be susceptible to more damage from elsewhere, not curling up into a ball. He knows exactly what he's doing, And I thought it was, I seen it at the time and was like, how's that not a red card? Horrible challenge. And to be honest, he deserved more than two games for it because he could have ended Ferguson's career.
Well, we've heard from our body language expert, Ryan Crombie, but do you go along with that, Casey?
Yeah, I do. So I was waiting in Ryan Crombie, hitting out with the biomechanics area. Him being sure, I think they're
being higher biology, lads.
No, I'd totally reiterate what Ryan's just said. It's Morelos, and it's just so frustrating about Morelos, right? And this is even for me, that somebody that obviously is a Kilmarnock fan and stuff, but like, what a player he is when he's on it. And he was brilliant at Pittodrie's, his second goal, phenomenal, and then just stupid sending off to McKenna, and McKenna's daft to kick him, and also two reds there, no qualms about that. Alan McGregor, justice has eventually been served. Well, it's not really been served because he should have been sent off at the time, and you know what I mean, like, Aberdeen's got a really, really good chance, and it's a penalty they get for that, you know what I mean, and it could have been a totally, totally different game if McGregor was sent off what he should have been. Just, he's been doing it his full career. It's frustrating as well because he's a guy, I think he's the best goalkeeper in Scotland by a country mile. I think that he's been Scotland's best goalkeeper, certainly my full generation, and probably back, certainly better than Rab Douglas and Neil Sullivan before him as well. So he's arguably the best goalkeeper of the kind of modern era in Scottish football, but his behaviour at times is embarrassing, totally embarrassing, dirty, he knows exactly what he's doing, and I say all this nonsense about protecting himself. As Ryan says, when you protect yourself, you do, you curl, you know what I mean, to... Mm-hmm. Like, you don't know you don't have a standing leg. It's just, you know exactly what he was doing, and thankfully kind of Ferguson kind of read that, and the damage was minimal, even though it really could have been a very, very serious injury got for that.
I think that sums up Killy nil, Rangers nil quite well. we'll move on to the big tie of the weekend. St Mirren 1, the world famous Dundee United 2. Ryan Crombie, did you see this coming?
I did. I backed Dundee United on my Saturday coupon at 13-10. I thought
good
was
price,
a very,
very good price.
Very reasonable price for Dundee United, who I've openly spoke about have done excellent business in the January transfer window, as opposed to St Mirren, who are just desperate at the minute. And it just looks like a rot has set in at St Mirren. Anything that happens there this season isn't going to materialise into anything positive. So, no, I wouldn't even call this a shock, if you like. I would say that Dundee United, by all accounts, battered St Mirren. Obviously, you were there. You'll be able to give an update better than me. But, no, I expected Dundee United to win this one, and they did.
Casey, well, the two of you had on loan Mark Reynolds at centre half and former Killy captain Connolly, who were just immense. Casey, is this probably isn't a surprise to you that he's been this good already?
No, definitely not, Tom. I was hoping to actually get a chance to speak to you about Connolly anyway, because nobody able to do it off air or anything. But no,
yeah, for a coffee.
Yeah, correct. Just discuss Mark Connolly. Nah, he's a guy. If he's had his injury problems, but when he's fit, he's a brilliant defender. He's really kind of wears his heart on his sleeve. He would throw his body in front of him. You know, he's a cracking defender. Point I would like to make to get another dig in at Ryan: when he signed for Kilmarnock back in 2014, he actually turned down Aberdeen, I believe. Aberdeen were monitoring him as well, and he came to Kilmarnock. So what a terrible choice that was, considering Aberdeen have absolutely pummeled Killy ever since then. But
I was going to say, we'd enjoyed the results then.
But no, he's a cracking player. I would have had him back myself, and I thought we were going to sign him in January, but obviously I'm like, Alex Bruce and stuff, so but I would have definitely had Mark Killy back come on. It's no surprise that he'll do really well at Tandy. I think it's a brilliant signing.
Yeah, so him and Reynolds were just, they won everything in the air. Yeah, he was quite unlucky, Connolly, to see the goal go deflected off him, which is arguably kind of what you want your defender to be doing, throwing himself and obviously sometimes given how deep they were, that is going to happen, but just the difference. And I don't think Franz and Buchena, the old centre-half pair they had and still have at the club, but there was much wrong with them. They just, the difference, that the fact that they just, both of them are leaders and speak to the fullbacks. You've seen Robson and Booth come on so much in the two games that they've played together, which just says something for probably Franz Buchena's communication skills. I mentioned it last week, having Charlie Seaman, a right back who plays at right back, just seems to work.
Who?
It's funny that having good players in the right positions might just be a trick. Butcher got sent off. Ryan, this is the second of the two high feet incidents. You say this was a red as well?
Aye, probably. I mean, I don't think he could have too much complaints. I don't really know what he's thinking, if at all. I think you mentioned it, but sort of shades of the 2014 World Cup, 2010 World Cup final.
2010, yeah.
2010.
De Jong.
De Jong, Netherlands v Spain. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. But no complaints there. I think Willie Collum got that one right. I mean, I think obviously you might come on to it, but I'll mention it anyway. I don't know how he didn't get the other one right. Mm-hmm. Paul McGinn just sort of decided he was going to forearm smash Dundee United player and received a yellow card for it. So he got that one wrong, but aye, in terms of the Callum Butcher challenge, I don't think you could have much complaints about receiving a red card for it. I did like how he had a wee moan to the fourth official, who then just ushered him down the tunnel, and he just kind of accepted it. But no complaints there. In terms of Dundee United as a whole, though, I think that Robbie Nielsen's just utilised the loan system fantastically well this January transfer window. I think the whole point of loans is getting players in that you usually can't get access to, whether that's wages or ability. And players like Reynolds, Connolly, Paulett, Osman Sow, they're all players who are of a higher calibre than the Scottish Championship. No disrespect to yourselves or anyone in their intended, but to be able to get these players in to play at that level, especially a centre-back pairing that could easily compete in the Scottish Premiership, it should see Dundee United promoted. And I think results like beating St Mirren away from home in a Scottish Cup tie, where some people would have viewed them as the underdogs, is a testament to where Dundee United should be heading. Don't want to get too far ahead of myself. I'm sure you've learnt your lesson
as
well.
Yeah, calm down, Ryan. Come on, we don't need too much positivity about Dundee United, please.
Aye, but Mark Reynolds, I think, in terms of him himself, he'll be a Rolls Royce in that league. He'll stroll it, because his reading of the game is top notch, and he still has a wee bit of pace about him. And I said to you the other day, let's not forget, he hasn't played a game in almost a year. So to come back in, play two games, and from what I've heard from yourself, he's been rock solid. It's fantastic to see. And maybe it's because I've said it before, he's probably got this move to prove himself, to put himself in the shop window, and because I don't really envisage a way for him back in at Aberdeen as a regular. So fair play to Robbie Nielsen for doing the business he's done in January.
Well, given the 180 minutes that we've seen so far of him, I'd be more than happy if he stayed at Tannadice.
Well, that's potential, if you get promoted.
Well, yeah, fingers crossed. But you touched upon the gross bodily harm that Paul McGinn committed on former teammate Cammy Smith. Cam Scott, red card, surely?
No, I know, but I was just trying to think back to it, man. I was just thinking it was maybe trying to give him a bit of the benefit of the doubt, but as a very real challenge, and he pretty much just kind of bodies from me at the deck, and it kind of set the tone for the rest of the game with that. So it was a red card. I was just been bitter thinking back to Kamala there, so apologies for that.
We'll move on to Hibs 3, Rifovers 1. Mark McNulty got his first goal. Someone who had a really good season a couple of years back at Coventry City, sort of failed to make the grade at Reading, but could be a massive sign for Hibs.
I know a lot. I think a lot of the Hibs fans really seem to take to him. Good for him to get off the mark, albeit against a lower league opposition, but I don't think those kind of things really matter when you've not been playing. He just wants to get back scoring. He's done that, and he just needs to take that into the sort of Hibs' Premiership form, which is where they'll be looking to sort of make headway a wee bit, because it's not been fantastic, and anything other than a win against Raith Rovers, of course, would have been deemed pretty shocking. I mean, I think it would have been one of the biggest cup upsets, certainly out the round, this round of fixtures anyway, given that Raith haven't really been setting League One alight, admittedly Hibs haven't been setting the Premiership alight. They're of a better they're better quality than the league position suggests, but in terms of McNulty getting on the score sheet, aye, fantastic, because it just looks like it's not happening for Canberra at the minute, and they need to get somebody in amongst the goals.
Obviously it looks like Neil Lennon will be replaced by Appleton.
The bear.
Do you know much about him, Ryan?
I know he's a tank, but that's about it. There's just the sheer size of this guy. I mean, if you don't know who we're talking about, I suggest that you pause the podcast and get up a photo of Michael Appleton on Google, because he looks like a wrestling character. And God forbid if Hibs ever end up in a technical area sort of battle. I mean, I don't think Craig Levein will be having any bits of patter with Hibs anymore if he's going to be in the opposite dugout from him. But in terms of his actual managerial record, caretaker at Leicester, manager at Oxford, pretty... I mean, it's not fantastic in terms of sort of capabilities. We don't know too much about him. I do recognise his face from his time at Leicester, but that's about it. I don't really remember his spell at Oxford United. So it'll be interesting to see for Hibs. But I will say, I'm not too sure about these kinds of appointments. I always think the best appointments in the Scottish Premiership are people who know the league. You just need to look at Steve Clarke for a club like Hibs, Aberdeen, Kilmarnock, Hearts. Steve Clarke, obviously, Derek McInnes, Craig Levein. I would say that he doesn't really have any sort of knowledge of the Scottish game. I mean, that's me just assuming there. But he's not played in Scotland, he's not managed in Scotland, so it'll be interesting to see, and I do have my doubts, but I certainly won't be telling that to him, because he'll probably kill me. So
so just to surmise there, Ryan, you'd rather they have someone like John Hughes than Michael Appleton.
Well, I was looking at a more Terry Butcher kind of character, you know, second spell at Hibs.
Unfinished business. Unfinished business. Exactly. Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to lie. When Lennon left Hibs, I was thinking, well, this is ridiculous, because I've never got to get anyone near his quality ever to replace. But I was quite excited to see who they could attract. But, I mean, this kind of shortlist was really worrying me if I was a Hibs fan. I mean, I remember Appleton when he was Blackpool manager, because I remember him just being really, really, really young. And they kind of poached him off Portsmouth, I think, at the time. I remember that for about 5 or 6 years ago. But he's never really done anything. Like, I mean, he's... I don't know, it's just... I think it's a... I don't know. It kind of looked like... If you did, like, a kind of career mode in FIFA, man, they kept jumping from job to job too soon, trying to climb the ladder, and it kind of backfired, and... You know what I mean? And caretaker manager at Leicester and stuff. But I thought the kind of shortlist of managers was very, very poor. But I'm trying to even think who would have been a fit. Like, I was maybe kind of half expecting even names like Billy Davis or something been mentioned, you know what I mean? Like, at least folk that have done something in the game, you know what I mean? Like, it's... And what this kind of striking talk just appeared to only be talk. I mean, nothing really happened with that. No, I just don't want to shoot the guy before he's even been announced the job, but I don't doubt that he could probably get in and do a decent job, man, but just kind of stinks of kind of Ian Barraclough at Motherwell kind of the point. So there's my views and Mikey Appleton getting the job at Easter Road.
But it's good to hear someone on the podcast knows something about the new Hibs manager above the fact he's got a well-chiselled body.
Thank you.
Moving on to East Fife 0, Partick Thistle 1. Partick Thistle maybe just turned out a corner in terms of their away form at a very much needed time. Ryan, you watched this. The one thing that struck me, or you watched the highlights on Sports Scene, I know this, because the one thing that struck me was the package that they put together on Sports Scene's Sunday coverage. You care to talk us through that?
In what context?
Just some of the interviews I thought were particularly colourful characters.
I know. I mean, I think you need these kind of packages to make a 1-0 Partick Thistle win at East Fife a wee bit more exciting than it actually is. The characters, as we've seen, the kit man get interviewed, the classic guy that does every job in the club, you know, just loves the club inside out, Scottish Cup kind of
Why
interview.
Why are they always such creeps, man? And like, I don't want to be hard on the guy, man, but you're like a perfectionist, man. All he's doing is hanging taps up my bloody coat hanger, man. You can't be which perfection about that, man. I don't doubt it's a guy's livelihood in that, but it's always these types, man. It's just get a life, man.
I mean, I think they had a few extra minutes to fill in Sports Scene. I think that was the problem. But good to see sort of these kind of things, I guess, that lower leagues get a wee bit more coverage and the kind of characters that make these clubs tick over get some airtime, if you like. In terms of that, the game itself, if you want me to speak about that, I think. But yeah. Partick, I didn't see them losing this for some reason. I know their away form and form in general hasn't been fantastic, but I just didn't see East Fife being able to put up much of a resistance. I mean, I think Partick were 3-1 to win this game at some point when the draw actually got made, which I just found staggering.
God.
And I believe Miles Stoney missed another sitter. Good to see. But in terms of Partick, aye, fantastic that they've managed to get a wee cup run together to sort of make them almost forget about the league for the time being. Mm-hmm. They can look forward to that. Hopefully a decent draw in the next round for themselves. But East Fife never really looked like they were going to give them much bother going by the highlights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned there, Brian, but how welcome a boost will this be for Partick Thistle, very much in a relegation dogfight? Casey.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's one of those that's strange because you always think, oh, well, people say St Mirren put out the cup now is a positive because they can just concentrate in the league. But you can't ever underestimate the the confidence a good kind of cup run can bring you. I mean, certainly in kind of 1997 when we won the cup, we were close to being relegated that year as well. So I don't doubt that kind of both competitions kind of helped breed confidence throughout. But Thistle do appear to kind of turn the corner a wee bit. I mean, I remember, and Ryan will continue to laugh about this, when I said that Gary Caldwell getting the Partick Thistle job was a, quote, shrewd bit of business. and then he just never won again for it. 2.5 months or something, and I was like, what is going on here? I just thought it was quite ambitious for Thistle to kind of appoint somebody kind of Caldwell's calibre, but no, they appear to have kind of turned the corner, and as old cliche goes, it was all just about getting into the next round, which they did that, which could have been a very tricky game for them. Well, evidently it was. I mean, they only won 1-0, so it was always going to be hard, but no, I think that any win for Thistle has got to be massive for confidence in their fight to stay in the second tier of Scottish football.
Mm-hmm. The final game is Ross County Inverness, so one of those two will join Aberdeen, Hearts, Celtic, Killie or Rangers. Hibs, Partick Thistle and tournament favourites Dundee United. Ryan, how do we see this one going tomorrow night?
Firstly, I'd like to say that it's an absolute disgrace that this Highland Derby is being played on a Monday night at 7:15.
Correct.
It is absolutely shocking. In terms of, is this one of the first ever Scottish Cup games to be played on a Monday night for just for TV purposes? Probably. In terms of, I mean, I know it's not right to suggest, but it's not a Celtic, Rangers, Aberdeen, Hearts, Hibs, Killy. Do you know what I mean? It's not like these. The kickoff time won't deter the fans from going. The attendance, I would suggest, would be hit, as opposed to this game being on Saturday, 3 o'clock, even Sunday. But BBC have decided this one's right for their TV schedule, and it's on a Monday night, which I just couldn't believe when I seen it. I was asking today, because I actually forgot it was on when the draw was, and I assumed it was after the Aberdeen game, because the thought of even having a Scottish Cup game on a Monday night is just, it's ludicrous in my opinion, and shouldn't be happening. The game itself, I think, these games have a tendency to either be fantastic, lots of goals, or turgid, terrible affairs that end 0-0. Could quite easily see a replay for this one as well, given we've only had one in this round of fixtures so far, so I'll go for a 1-1.
Casey?
I think that Inverness will win, just purely kind of hunch I've got. I just...
Back cross county.
Correct, but just that, just that point. I think that the TV coverage has been an absolute disaster in the way the fixtures have played out this weekend. I mean, why was it Hearts Talbot game on the Sunday? Mm-hmm. I mean, what?
I think it's like, just because Hibs were at home.
I know, but you're like, I don't know. I think it just killed that. Like, just that. That does logically make more sense, but I'm just like, because when we were away, and obviously I've got a lot of friends for kind of the Auckland Lake area and that, and we were talking about when they were going to the game, and they were like, it's a Sunday. I goes, what? I didn't realise it was a Sunday. I was like, oh, it must be on the telly then. They're like, no. I'm like, well, this just doesn't make any sense. And then to have this game on the Monday night is just, having to wait for the draw, it's garbage, man. Remember, you sound like you're dying that, man. But remember the good old days when you used to have the Scottish Cup draw on the bloody Saturday, man. It was class coming in for the games. Like, that's what it was all about. No Monday nights, pish.
Well, I think you can even get away with it being on a Sunday. Do you know what I mean? I think that it's always going to be games over a Saturday, Sunday in terms of just TV and that nowadays. I think we can accept that because it's the weekend. But what I can't accept personally is games being on a Monday night. It's not even like it's a holiday. Do you know what I mean?
Nah, it's just garbage.
Well, I think that sets us up incredibly well. It's almost as if you two know the plan for this podcast. It sets us up well for discussion. So before we get into the 8 lower league results of the weekend, we'll discuss the fact that you now need 4 separate subscriptions to watch Scottish football this season. How would you solve a problem like this, Casey?
Illegal streaming.
I agree wholeheartedly. Nah, I just think that, don't know, man. I don't want to keep hitting out the old cliches, man. But just football's just changed. Some will say evolved. I'd just say changed for the worse. But just the TV, I think it's killed a lot of good things. But I thought, if anything, the TV got it right. I thought the Killy Rangers 5:15 kickoff on a Saturday was quite cool. I think we spoke about this before in the podcast, thinking, and that's a good time to have a game. Like, imagine Hearts Aberdeen at Tynecastle or something, like 5:15, atmosphere would be brilliant. So that's bang on. But just across these Premier Sports, a joke. I can't really see it lasting long. On the Kelly forums, a few folk were saying that they had a bit of trouble with the stream and all that, and I don't think they were the only ones. So, and it's basically just a really, really crappy version of BT, given they've just employed the full BT panel. So, I don't know how you would combat it. It's just, it's just been bought and sold. There's no loyalty or anything to it.
Well, I think that's the problem. The Premier Sports want to tap into the Rangers and Celtic market. Therefore, as a almost start-up kind of route into Scottish football, they want the viewers, they want the money, so they're going to be picking Celtic and Rangers games, which just transpires into non-imaginative games for viewers out with the Old Firm that I think we've enjoyed with BT. I know that BT obviously pretty public about their disgraceful bid to renew the Scottish their Scottish football rights, but Premier Sports itself, I think, it's a bit of a roughshod operation at the minute. Perhaps more behind the scenes than what's going on in front, given that the team they've got, as it is BT basically, is pretty decent. I mean, I know our very own Lewis Burrell was tweeting them. Don't know if you've seen that. At the weekend he said, and I will quote verbatim so as not to get pulled up, he said he added them so nobody else would see it. Should probably have put a full stop. But he put, constant pixelating in the Killie Rangers game last night, then this nonsense today for Celtic v St Johnston, and it's a TV of the channel being down. Despite every other channel working, Sky Sports and BT Sport leading the way, your operation is a sham. We'll be going into the bank tomorrow to block the prospective direct debit to you. You will not be having a penny from me. So, I think that sums up, I think, Lewis's and a lot of people's view on Premier Sports. But it's not just an issue that's selective to Premier Sports, because the game on Monday night, Inverness, Ross County, is BBC that are showing it. So there is an issue in terms of if you want to watch Scottish football, as you mentioned, the four subscriptions. What are they? BT, Premier, Sky and
BBC.
If you pay your TV licence, BBC. It's expensive, but you could argue... just go to the games, man. Because it's less expensive.
Worryingly, during the week, I found myself agreeing with former Crystal Palace chairman and current Rent-A-Gob, Simon Jordan, on TalkSport of all places. And he was saying, from an English point of view, that they should just, Premier League games should be all in one place, because this was a debate in England as well. More to do with European football, but I thought this was absolutely applicable to the Scottish game at the moment. Was that they could have a Premier League TV, and we've talked about SPFL TV before, particularly recently when the rights for BT and Sky were going for a sort of SPFL TV, could work as a sort of equivalent to Netflix, where you get all these people paying a monthly fee, and you can pick and choose. Maybe there'll be some premium content in terms of. Annoying that it would be the rate Celtic Rangers games, and I don't know, discounts if for whatever reason, depending on how many games you watch, something like that, as opposed to having to fork out for four different subscriptions. I don't know if that's something you'd agree with, Casey.
Yeah, no, it's just, I mean, just with the kind of, I'm honestly, mate, I'm actually speechless when it comes to like the subscriptions. I'm just with Crombie every day of the week, man. I think that the only way to counter it is just to go to the games. But I mean, they still win all in anyway. See, because if they've got to buy their subscriptions regardless, because they want to see the Champions League, they want to see this and that. I don't know. I thought it was kind of cool when there was talk of kind of Amazon and all that. You know, like that. Kind of talk of them buying the rights to the Scottish Premiership and YouTube and stuff. I thought it would be kind of cool, but I don't even know how that would work. But like I say, I've got absolutely no answers which will solve these issues, unfortunately.
Why don't we set up a Kickstarter called Burstball TV, and everyone can donate, and then once we reach £1 billion, we can offer to buy the rights for Scottish football in one dedicated channel.
Well, I think that would be very good. So yeah, I'm with you in that.
Yeah, this is in 10 years from now, this is look back to this podcast to where it started. But I think, just on a, more seriously, it's just football is now deemed at the top level. And top level, I'm not referring to playing terms. I'm talking about boardrooms and meetings. It is it's a business, and it's not financially. It doesn't make a good business model to have everything available in the one place. You can sell off the rights to these different bidders at different prices. Usually, they will put in very high bids for these different rights packages and all that kind of thing, and they enjoy seeing them bidding against each other. And I think that, well, I agree that Scottish football's TV deals are terrible and we don't get enough money for what the game's worth. I think the perfect example was Aberdeen Rangers on Wednesday night. Absolutely terrific game, and I've seen a lot of people south of the border, a few tweets and stuff like that saying it might not have the same quality of the Premier League, but it certainly trumps in terms of passion, and just everyone fucking hates each other. It's brilliant. And it's sad because I don't know how much you can do in terms of dissuading people from making money rather than listening to fans. It's pretty depressing, to be honest.
Well, your idea of a Scottish football podcast being on TV, I don't think that'll ever work. I think that rounds up our wee discussion section. This is all Ryan's idea, the discussions. I think it's been a massive benefit to the podcast, so thank you very much, Ryan.
TYB.
We'll move on to the Championship. There was only the one game, but this could have arguably been on TV itself. Alloa got beat 2-1 at home by Falkirk, meaning that there's now only 3 points separating the bottom four. Casey, a simple question: who goes down?
Who goes down?
I don't know. I think that Falkirk. You know how I'm pretty biased towards Ray McKinnon and stuff, right? I'll happily concede that. And I do think that they are, I think that they will get out it. I just think it's a lazy argument, but I just think Alloa, because they're weaker, but they always, you know, they're capable of staying up. But I just think that when you look, you see Falkirk probably will get out it and with a couple of games to spare, and I think that Thistle have kind of turned the corner a bit. I think Alloa have had 3 defeats in the last 5 games, and at least the other 2 are winning. I don't know, and Dunfermline could get dragged into it. Oh man, they'll be worried for them as well. But if I had a gun to my head now, Tom, which obviously you do, you've got the proverbial gun to my head, I will say that Alloa will be in the Championship next season, and Partick Thistle will finish in the playoff position.
Okay. Obviously, my weapon that I use is only words. Ryan, who do you think will go down?
Speaking of weapons, Tom, but yourself.
Hugh Keevans.
I think that Alloa will also go down. I think that they play very good football. I agree. But I just think that when it comes to digging results out towards the tail end of the season, I fancy Partick, Dunfermline and Falkirk to do that a lot more than I do Alloa.
We shall now move downwards to League One. The Arbroath game was postponed due to concerns with the wind mid-game. How windy it must have been in Arbroath that get game cancelled is... must be staggering, given it is always, always windy in Arbroath. Forfar managed to keep their game on, beating Airdrie 2-0. Massive result at the bottom of the table as well. Stenny beating Montrose 1-0, meaning Dumbarton now bottom. Ryan, are you worried for Dumbarton?
Yes, I am. I think, from what I've seen of Stenhousemuir, which is 2 games against Aberdeen this season, that they have enough about them to stay up in that division, and beating Montrose at home is a fantastic start. given Montrose have acquitted themselves relatively well in that league this year after getting promoted from League 2. And I think Stenhouse Muir, well, certainly in the two games against us, I mean, they were pretty decent in terms of just the defensive structure, and did carry a wee bit of a threat going forward. And if they can, I'm just applying the logic that if they can do that against Aberdeen, they can do it against the teams in around about them in their league. And I know that isn't always the case, and it always doesn't translate directly to that kind of thing, but I do think that their form will improve, and the win against Montrose showed that, and Dumbarton don't look like they seem to be getting ahead of steam, so I would say yes to the answer to your question. I am concerned for the future of Jim Duffy at Dumbarton.
See, it's bizarre. I mean, when Duffy got the job, I thought Dumbarton would totally turn the corner and at least be competing in the playoffs, but no the League Two playoffs, you know what I mean? It's just it's absolutely ridiculous. I still think that they will just grind enough to get out of it, because I mean it's so tight, you know what I mean? There's only what, 2 points separating four teams or whatever. I do think Dumbarton will stay up, but I mean it's definitely where they want to be in the league at this point in the season, especially with like an ambitious appointment like Jim Duffy there.
Moving on to League One, League Two, even there was a full fixture card that were affected by the Scottish Cup and the weather. Albion Rovers lost 3-0 to Elgin at home.
Staggered Albion Rovers game went ahead. That is always the first ground in Scotland to get called off.
Good result for your second team, Elgin Rein.
Yeah, very good. Another one that snuck its way onto my Saturday coupon, which I won, if anyone was interested in.
How much?
83.
Decent. From how much? From a fiver. It's very good.
So it's not just me saying that I picked all these teams that won on my coupon. I did actually put a coupon on.
Sorry, just to come in there in regards to band gambling. Obviously, you've kind of heard some of my stories from Vegas there, but it could have been worse. A friend of mine who was absolutely wrecked yesterday put £40 in Conor McElhinney to score the first goal in the Kelly Rangers game. So. And he was on
he would have been fainting when he went done that wee mazy run into the edge of the box.
Man. I know, and there was one earlier on as well that he smacked for about 25 yards actually when he landed up in the top bag, but it was just like, Jesus wept, man. £40 in McElhinney, first goal scorer. Sorry to butt in there, Ryan.
No, I have to sort of stress that I bet like a fiver once a month now. So very nice surprise that it came in. But in terms
methadone. Coming off, man.
That's what the funds have gone directly towards. But in terms of Elgin, fantastic. I think that Albion Rovers are pretty desperate this season though. And that's why I backed Elgin, because I think that anyone playing Albion Rovers home or away this year, it just looks like they're going to steamroller them if they turn up. And how many points do Albion Rovers have? Is it
something? 7?
Jeez, it's still single figures at this stage of the season.
Do they get to double figures?
Yeah, I think they will. It's not quite Brecon City, but I mean it is pretty terrible. And I think they can start looking forward to a pyramid playoff game against either East Kilbride or Kelty Hearts.
Just because Brora are always there. I think they're actually not that good this season. Just we all know the conspiracies about Brora.
Cove, man.
Yes, all those Highland teams who don't want to play in the professional leagues in Scotland.
No, but it's weird seeing Albion Rovers, given that they came down from League One last year. They just seem to have gone into a bit of free fall.
It was just their manager signed all the junior players in the summer, wasn't it? That's the kind of the big thing, isn't it? He just signed all the boys for the juniors. Which juniors is riddled with talent, but Come on.
Maybe not from where he's selected.
Yeah, exactly. You should come down and watch the Grange Armies. There's a few players there that could maybe have some kind
I've
of
seen it was the Ryan Crombie badge derby today.
It was so against Aaron, who are very good in the division above us, and we had a few players missing but competed well, so I'm proud of them.
Good stuff. As long as the badges look good.
The lower league coverage.
Yes, of course.
We got a couple of questions in. Obviously, we answered Grant Campbell's one about Celtic and the treble. We also got one from Jan Spans, friend of the show, of course. His question is, do all agree not having VAR is an absolute blessing, Casey?
Kind of, yeah, because I know this is... I can't really moan about decisions, but I still think a brilliant part of football is controversy. But still, there's some decisions that just shouldn't really, go wrong, which they do. But it's a kind of weird one for me because I kind of like how Scottish football is still proper football, quote. But I think that there is I just think the referees are a joke. Regardless of VAR, I think that the referees just need improved. Or we just get rid of them and bring over the Israelis and that, which I've been campaigning for a few years, and that's from a Palestine supporter there, so there you go. But VAR, I'm not really bothered, but I think that for the game to evolve, it kind of does, but I still think I like how Scottish football is old school.
I was kind of the same. I like how there's this uninterrupted flow to football. And obviously I've been to a few games and watched a few games that have VAR in place, and it does break it up a wee bit. So I have been sceptical of, do we need it in Scottish football? It sort of ruins the raw brilliance of football. But I mean, after Wednesday night sort of shambles where you've got Alan McGregor assaulting Lewis Ferguson, who would have then been sent off, Aberdeen would have had a penalty. And then you're looking at drawing level, a man up with half an hour to go against, ultimately, at that point, maybe not now, title rivals. So I do think that VAR is needed in Scottish football, because I think we like to talk up Scottish football, and I think if you don't keep up with trends in football in general, you're at risk of being left behind and being made a bit of a joke of, which... we don't like in Scotland. I mean, I know we like to sort of play up on the fact that everyone just hates each other. The league isn't as great quality as everywhere else, but I do think in terms of getting the basic fundamentals of the game correct, we would need to get VAR, yes.
So it's safe to say our panel is VAR split.
Oh.
That'd be a perfect time to end the podcast, I think.
But thankfully, we have the answer to the trivia to save my blushes.
Oh, right. Oh, I forgot about this.
I think I get three off the top of my head.
Okay. Care to share?
Right, so it was four, wasn't it? Wait, there was four teams. Right,
four teams with end and start with the same letter.
Right, well, you've got Alloa.
Wrong. Alloa Athletic.
Oh, right, okay, that's fair, right. Well, Celtic, Kilmarnock, for sure. Wait, no, they're trying to think for saying Dundee United.
Yep. Always good to get a mention of them on the podcast.
Let's see. Give me a kind of hint where one of the other teams is.
They're not in the West.
Right. I was more talking leagues there, Tom, but that's...
League
that's
One.
That's a cryptic clue, it's not just a...
They're in League One. Nah, I don't know if I can get it. I don't want to frustrate people listening with this kind of dead air and stuff, so I'm happy getting three anyway, and controversially, Alloa, so...
They're not in the West, they're in the East of Fife.
Yeah, brilliant, excellent.
So thank you very much to Ryan for that question. I hope we do that more often, because I absolutely love quizzes. So a big thank you to Ryan, not just for the question, for being on the podcast today.
Yep, pleasure as always. Fantastic to sort of take a nice wee back seat this time around. Thank you for hosting, Tom.
Yeah, I love it. Pleasure as always. And thank you for coming on for the first time this year, Kilmarnock Callum.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Offended,
Tom.
Callum.
Yeah, great. Offended. Just one point I thought I missed in a podcast that I wish I did bring up. Craig Levein wearing leather gloves at the side of the pitch today.
I didn't spot this.
I'm certain he was. He was wearing leather gloves whilst on the day. He looked like a hitman in a, I don't know, like a Jason Statham film or something. So,
well, he's already taken out Ian Cathro, so who's next?
Correct. He's probably took out Lenny as well, since we've not seen him. Aye, so just to address that, but thanks very much for having me on, Tom, and I really enjoyed it.
Well, thank you for bringing up that oddity about Levein. Any news about Levein's more than welcome when I'm hosting, and of course, as are you. So, and particularly thank you to the listeners who stayed with us and hopefully participated in the trivia. We'll be back next week for episode 244 of the Burst Plus Scottish Football Podcast.